car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Well, hello once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio, and I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We're Analog Living, Digital World. And this is the show with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news that you can use. Brought to you in Northern California, if you're listening to us on KCNR, by our folks at Advanced Automotive of Reading. But we are also podcasts throughout the known universe.
That's a scary thought.
Yes. Well, radio signals from our early shows are probably now passing through a few star systems.
Well, let's see, how far can it go in 10 years at 186,000 miles second type of thing?
About 10 light years.
Miles per hour? I forget now. Yeah. See, I forget. Meters per second. That's what it is. Now I got to look it up.
There is actually a list of star systems that may have habitable planets based on the latest research. It's one of the Centauri cluster, about 4.6 light years away.
Well, the thing about it is that a signal from any of our media would be very, 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 very weak.
Yeah.
By the time it got out that far.
But in theory.
Right. You wrote a story about that, sci-fi story, yep, about that one time.
Action, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Big,
this story.
This big net antenna. Mm-hmm. And the client was paying handsomely for you to capture some media, mm-hmm, and that turns out it was an episode of I Love Lucy. It was an awesome story.
Ah, you spoiled.
Yeah, well, nobody can read it anywhere, so.
Oh, dear me. Lots of second half of the first hour, Alan Belongi will be joining us via Skype. The big story of this week, oh, my goodness, it seems like everybody's hating on Facebook this week. Zuckerberg, and it just keeps getting better. Oh, my goodness. Now a report.
It's like deeper and deeper.
Oh, yeah. Now a report. We're going to hit several headlines. Apparently, some of the latest news is that Facebook, I flipped about six pages into the Boomer Tech Radio magazine, because this caught my eye, that according to The Verge, which is one of the magazines that we check with, Facebook secretly deleted messages that Mark Zuckerberg sent via Messenger. This headline is, Facebook has admitted the company has been secretly deleting messages sent by founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg, saying that after Sony Pictures' emails were hacked in 2014, they made a number of changes to protect executive communications. These include the retention period for Mark's messages in Messenger. We did so in full compliance of our legal obligations to preserve messages. This is starting to sound an awful lot like the missing IRS email.
Yeah, and mail servers and who did what and what have you. Oh, my goodness.
My computer crashed, so all my emails are gone. Anybody who knows anything about how email works laughed at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Your computer doesn't have the only copy of an email that has been sent.
Oh, well, conveniently, they wiped the backup, so they're all gone. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Yes, well, of course, Facebook's privacy policies and data protection is under scrutiny, so, you know, what they're selling and doing. You know, there's nothing free about these
That's right.
things. You either have to view ads or they're gathering data on you and selling it, and mostly both, I think. Mm-hmm. And I am on the verge of just turning my Facebook off and only tapping into it every once in a while. There's really, amongst all of the folks that I'm friends with on Facebook, there's about three that I follow pretty consistently. For one thing, they post genuine activities on their part that I can keep up a bit with what's going on in their lives. They don't see much out of me because I don't post much on Facebook. I barely have time to watch Facebook or look at Facebook, much less post stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I don't. I just don't do much of that.
Well, since the Cambridge Analytica revelations scandalized the social media giant, Facebook has scrambled to contain the damage. They have lost $80 billion with a B dollars worth of market value since this all came out, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. The Euros are opening up privacy investigations, mm-hmm. figuring out Australians.
Mm-hmm. And in Europe, they have far stricter privacy laws than they do here.
The right to be forgotten.
Whether it be Google or whomever is going to have to start toeing the mark with the European policies, but regulations. What have you. But, you know, excuse me while I get out the 2-inch fiddle and play the world's smallest violin for Facebook. I just, you know, a juggernaut like that, they lose some face with this.
Well, everybody's piling on right now. And
well, even so, this is inexcusable. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of a breach of etiquette, trust, ethics, integrity, you know, you name it in that capacity. Yeah. Over greed. Because it really does get down to the money, honey, type of thing.
The concerns of European consumer organizations are supposedly justifiable. It's already been confirmed by a Norwegian news agency that as many as 37,550 Norwegians might have been affected by Cambridge Analytica's This Is Your Digital Life, even though, in fact, only 17 Norwegians actually downloaded the app.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, how does that math work?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Data protection authorities can force Facebook to stop or change certain practices. And, of course, Facebook has been and Google have just been favorite targets of the Euros because they want their own stuff to be pushed out front. So I think that the social network is in big trouble. People are leaving it in droves. Now, young people were already abandoning Facebook in droves in favor mm-hmm. of the next shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now comes a story that Facebook had. This is according to the Register, the UK Register, which is an IT publication, that Facebook was trying to access and match medical data.
Right.
They
had approached, who was it? I want to say Humana or somebody like that, to buy medical information.
Now, this is supposedly all anonymized for a research project. Now, Facebook had apparently planned to encrypt the identities of the users, but just as through Cambridge Analytica, this was supposedly anonymous user data, but through backtracking messenger data files, they were able to track down whose information it was and then sell it or use it for targeted advertising or the alleged, and this is what Congress is going to be asked, allegedly trying to skew public opinion in a direction towards a desired outcome in an election. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. If you are a sole source information kind of person, shame on you.
Well, yeah, that's just not a good idea. I mean, that would be like trying to research something and going to Google, type it in, and click on only one of the things that comes up in the browser for your complete source of information on anything. Now, Wikipedia is pretty good about a lot of stuff, but you still have to cross-reference things.
Yeah. Now, I don't listen to Fox News, but shame on you if that is your only source of news.
Absolutely.
Shame on you if NPR is your only source of news. You have to have a bigger lens than that.
Right.
And shame on you if Facebook is your only source.
I think it's good to check out several different points of view on a story because not everybody, let's pick on two big ones, CNN and Fox News, for instance. They'll often have different little tidbits about a story, provide a different point of view, and it provides a little more perspective on it, even though I'm not so sure the media in general is, you know, reporting everything that there is to report or reporting it in an unbiased way. But that's why I don't watch television news and things like that. I sort of check in with things just to kind of know what the headlines are. And sometimes I don't get into the details too much because there's either not much known or it's just so disgusting that you really don't want to know the details.
Now, I'm not going to recommend and I'm certainly not going to tell people what to do. I would just tell you what I personally have done. I have removed the Messenger app from my Android Note 8.
I did the same.
I have not had Facebook on it for quite some time, quite frankly, because it eats the daylights out of my battery. It's not quite as bad if you have an iOS device, an Apple device. I still have it on my iPad along with Messenger because somebody might send me something on Messenger, and in order to have some sort of chance of seeing it, I'll look on there once in a while. But I'm about one annoyance away from purging that, too, and just saying, sorry, if you want to get hold of me, don't use Facebook. I'm done. I'm annoyed with these people.
Well,
and there's one way to show your annoyance.
I've never been a fan to begin with, so it doesn't take much for me to think about it. And I think I've gone the last week and a half with looking at Facebook for maybe a grand total of 15 minutes in the entire week and a half. Just kind of skim through, check in with a few people that are on there, and then I'm done with it.
I'll occasionally launch off some sort of pithy comment. I reminisced, in fact, in a posting about my very first radio gig was in the Navy, and I got quite a few feedbacks on that. That was an original post. It wasn't just refeeding something, which you find irritating when people do.
Oh,
that,
it's
right?
Just so unimaginative.
Yeah.
It really is. If I wanted to know everything about dachshunds, I could go find out about that for myself. I don't need somebody posting it on their Facebook. And I have a Facebook friend like that. And it's just, I don't care. It doesn't tell me anything about the individual. Well, what isn't that the point of Facebook? Is that I can kind of keep up with you?
Right.
You know, so, not what you think of as cute regarding dachshunds, which leads me to believe that's your entire life.
Yeah. So I'm looking. Now I delete the cleavage and yoga pants requests just right away.
I don't get that stuff. That is just so disgusting.
But I have received several, quote, friend requests from some young lady who's young enough to be my granddaughter. Taking a shot right down the, you know, right down the valley there and emphasizing her attributes, which, okay, glad you're proud of them, young lady, but I have no interest. And then, now here's one. A friend request that just came up. Kazim Agansina, who I've never heard of this person. I have no mutual friends.
Yeah, zero mutual friends is a clue right there.
Former musician. I have no idea who this person possibly could be or why they would have sent me a request. I'm baffled by that. I don't know what they... now, here there is a legitimate message in my Messenger, and of course it took me a couple of days to see it, and I'll follow up on that. But I have a client who that's how they contact me. And I may have to tell them, nah, use the good old email. You know, take a few extra turns, type a little bit, and don't just send it off your phone through Messenger because it may be days before I see it. And that's, you reach a point when you think, no, I'm not going to be part of this lemming thing anymore. You know, Facebook has a lemming. of the planet in their clutches. That's too much. And that's with some severe restrictions in places like China and other countries. Anyway, I think we've railed on them enough. Congress is going to be breaking out the big stick.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, right?
Yeah. Let's look at some other stories, and we may find some more. Alan, I think, when he does his segment here in about 10 minutes, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the Facebook stuff. Here all these, according to Engadget, yet another big box company has found out that maybe their customer data has been breached and exposed
yeah.
and sent out to the world. Sears and Delta have revealed that thousands of their customers may have had personal and financial information exposed. This was because companies had entrusted data to the tech firm 24/7 AI, which itself suffered a breach and last fall. And another well-known corporation has had its data potentially compromised. That would be Best Buy.
Amazing,
whoops.
Right?
Luckily, this is how it always starts. They anticipate that only a small fraction of overall online Best Buy shoppers may have had their information compromised.
Right.
This is how the Yahoo thing started. Well, we think that a small segment of our user base, an insignificant number of people, maybe possibly have had their information compromised, when it turned out it was everybody who has ever used Yahoo for anything.
Right.
In a statement, Best Buy confirmed that the company 24/7 AI provided a chat service that customers used from their phone or computer. The breach happened back in September and October, and customer payment information from some of the firm's companies may have been compromised. Therefore, if you used Best Buy's chat service, you may have had your data exposed. The retail giant did not offer further information.
Well, it's a good thing that... why would you go to Best Buy for a chat service? I'm not really sure.
Well, tech support, maybe, I think, probably need to talk to
the geek.
Yeah,
that could be. That could be. Yep, I could see that. Although, they kind of narrowed it down to where if you used your mobile device. So, not quite sure what that's all about. Seems like there's more to that story in terms of the technical details, but I... You know, most of these stores that have your phone number because you have a loyalty card or a discount card or whatever, I suppose that information could be a compromise. Because a lot of times it has your address as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like the kind of thing that may have been compromised in this case. But, hey, it just I guess I just assume that my stuff's out there.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's like, oh, great,
another hack.
Privacy breach. Yeah, another hack. And that's awful. You think about it, that's not good that I just accepted
it
kind
normal.
Of role. Yeah, a normal that should not be normal or that we shouldn't really tolerate, really. But what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I mean, the individual consumer doesn't have any control over that. And there I have to agree that maybe the Europeans have the right idea about privacy things and the laws and policies that they have in place might not be such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to something a little more lighthearted. The Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery mobile game is slated for release soon. One of the two new iOS titles that are coming this year.
Sorry, Android.
Hogwarts
right?
Mystery, yep. It will even include voiceovers from some of the original
yep.
film actors.
Yep.
Now, this isn't your headliners, you know. You're not going to hear Hermione or Harry or I forget his name.
What, Weasley?
Weasley, yeah.
Well,
but,
yeah, some of them, though, are pretty
yeah.
mainstream.
Matter of fact, Dame Maggie Smith, who played
yep.
McGonagall.
Yep, Professor McGonagall.
Michael Gambon, who was one of the Dumbledores.
Yep.
There were a couple of them. Warwick Davis, who has a long history with the Star Wars movies.
Right. He was Professor Flitwick.
Willow.
Yeah, Willow, another one.
Yeah.
Yep. He's very recognizable in movies. Yep.
Sally Mortimer, who was Madame Irma Pence.
I don't remember that character very well.
Gemma Jones, Madame Pomfrey.
She was the medical, the sick bait person.
Oh, okay. And Zoe Wanamaker, who was Madame Hooch.
And I don't remember her either.
Yeah, but...
not so good, but it's interesting. There's some good pictures.
It's a role-play game.
Yeah, a role-play game, and there's some good pictures in this story that is posted on our Flipboard page that shows the actual actor and then the animated version of the character that they will play.
Now, the
they play.
In the movie's timelines, this movie takes place during the 1980s when Bill Weasley and Nymphadora Tonks were at Hogwarts. This was before Harry Potter's birth. Harry Potter, Hogwarts Mystery is, quote, free. Now, anytime you see a big budget game that's free, there ain't no such thing.
It's going to ask for access to all kinds of stuff, probably.
Or there will be in-game purchases.
Well, there's that, too. You know, those are interesting because a lot of times they get you so far in a game, and then in order to proceed...
You have to start putting
some money out. It's like, okay, bye-bye.
Downloadable content.
There you go.
That's called.
Well, they still gather data on you as to what time you play, how you play. Are you playing over a network? Are you playing over a Wi-Fi network?
Right.
Or the cell phone network versus the Wi-Fi network? I'm sure they collect all of that kind of stuff.
It does look like fun, though.
How long do you stay in the game? Blah, blah, blah.
It does look like fun. But the Hogwarts Mystery coming soon to an iDevice near you.
Well, you can check it out on your tablet. I don't think the company's going to let me put it on the company phone. That's the only iDevice I have. The rest of them are all Android-type things.
Well, of course, we had that tragic accident involving an Uber car down in Arizona. Was it New Mexico? I'm sorry.
I forget.
Yeah. And there, a lot of people thought, well, this is it for self-driving cars. They're going to be all pulled off the road and scrapped and stuff.
I thought it was
like,
in Phoenix, but maybe not.
It was, wasn't it? Where did they hold South by Southwest?
Oh, that's Austin.
Austin, Texas. Okay, Austin.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I'm bad with that. Now you're going to make me go look it up.
Yeah.
I will do that.
Yeah, you have to look that up. It was a crash in Arizona. And that's still under investigation. But California is proposing rules for self-driving cars to pick up passengers. Public utility regulator on Friday signaled it would allow car companies to transport passengers without a backup driver. That's a step forward for autonomous car developers. The industry is facing heightened scrutiny over safety concerns. This is early technology, and unfortunately, when you're dealing with a ton of steel, when something goes wrong in a rather spectacular fashion.
Tempe, Arizona, which is
Tempe? Okay.
Just that's where Arizona State University is, just right there in more or less in Phoenix. It's just you can't tell the difference between the city limits between Phoenix and Tempe anymore. The whole thing is, I think in some ways that this is being thought about a little bit backwards from the point of view that self-driving cars may be the way to go in an urban center and leave out human-driven cars, where the self-driving cars take care of themselves. Having designated pickup points, maybe, like a bus.
I am thinking a
like
scaled
that.
Bus system.
Right. How is this all going to fit in? And you're right. It's very early in the game, and there's a lot that has to be figured out about this. Obviously, the technology is not perfect. Witness the fatalities that have occurred. So I'm sure with time it will get better, as all of these things do, because the reality of application is bringing up some of these problems, and they will be working to solve them.
Now, when I was in San Diego 15 years ago...
They being researchers and whatnot.
Right. There was a portion of Interstate 15 that was set aside, it was about a six-mile portion, set aside for self-driving car tests. And during certain hours of the day, the high-occupancy lanes, and it were switchable high-occupancy lanes, that in the morning would be as they come in into town, in the evening as you went out of town, but... In the off hours, they would shut down the lanes and use this six-mile stretch for testing autonomous cars.
That's interesting, switchable lanes. Seattle has that. You have red X's and green arrows.
Boomer Jack Radio.
Or maybe it's green X's.
Back
whatever.
With our weekly report from Alan Belongi after these messages.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Lisa, I want some more.
More? You want more?
Oliver, the award-winning musical adaptation of the classic Dickens novel, springs to life at the Cascade Theater with some of the most memorable characters and songs ever to hit the stage. April 19th to the 22nd and 26th to the 29th. Tickets on sale now at the Cascade box office by calling 243-8877 and online at cascadetheater.org.
Real people, real winners. Experience the thrill of yelling bingo and play at Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't miss our paper-only night every Monday. $200 drawing every session. Rock and roll bingo and $10,000 progressive bingo. At the end of the month, one lucky winner will win a Trinity Alps helicopter tour for three from Air Shasta Rotor and Wing in our Sights for Eyes drawing. Earn drawing tickets all month long. Receive three tickets on Triple Ticket Tuesdays. Don't miss our $500 midweek drawing every month. Ask about Bingo's Give Back promotion and special drawings every session. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. If you don't like to dob, let the machine do the work for you. Free sales available. Machines only, hands free. Who says you can't win them all? Play bingo with a Trinity Alps helicopter tour for three in our Sights for Eyes drawing. You only have to be 18 to play. Check out our bingo calendar and download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Bingo calendar subject to change. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, April 20th, from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later. And often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
I am Bob Belongi, and this segment, we got off to a bit of a rough start because this is our segment that we pre-record with Alan Belongi every week. He's our field guy with some stories. And a pet peeve of mine, Microsoft, which of course owns Skype, they like to fiddle with stuff. And we talked about this last week. We used the exact same settings to record this segment. It just had all kinds of problems. The levels were all over the place. Wouldn't work at all. I had to do a reboot on the PC. And that's a big gripe with Windows 10, is that they want to make sure you're protected against the latest threats. And I get that. However, if you've got a lot of mission-critical apps running that don't like to be bounced around, for instance, an automation system at a radio station, this is a problem I'm fighting right now, every time they want to shove an update down the pipe, it just boogers things up, which is why we're running our automation system on Windows 7 with all the updates turned off. But 10, of course, doesn't want to give you, they want to protect you, so they don't give you that option to turn off those updates. So
yeah, protect's one way to put it.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm fighting another computer of a coworker of mine who's having issues because his Windows 10 isn't updating, and it's yelling at him, and he's having this odd issue where it's like locking up his internet while it tries. I don't know. I haven't quite figured it out. I'm close to just reformatting the whole thing and starting from scratch basically on his computer.
Yeah, it seems, although Windows 10 has been a mixed success. The trouble is, everybody was so after the disaster of Vista after and before the disaster of 8, 7 just worked.
It was nice and simple. It was like, you know, 98 before it.
Yeah.
Well, or XP, I suppose, is the
yeah,
better one.
Yeah,
better
there's
example.
A that. Microsoft operating systems are like Star Trek movies. Every other one sucks.
That's why they skipped 9. No, actually, it's kind of funny. They skipped 9 because of weird compatibility issues with 95.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway.
Because back in the days when you had to write code really tight, it didn't look at all the digits. So, anyway. my goodness. The consternation and amazement Facebook was using our information and we didn't say they could. Well, actually, you did because you didn't read that 47-page end user license agreement that is written in such a cryptic manner that even a lawyer couldn't undo it. And basically, you gave them the right to do anything with your data. And now people are whinging and whining and all that sort of stuff. Now, this last week, I said I'm done with having this thing on my phone. Messenger. I didn't have Facebook at all because it ate my battery. Well, I pulled Messenger off my phone, and I told people I'll have it on my iPad because that doesn't travel with me everywhere. And I may or may not have it on my desktop because I'm not real keen on having my every move tracked through cookies. But I think that Facebook is in a lot more trouble than they realize. What do you think?
Well, especially with how, you know, the popularity of it isn't based on whether it's got the right kind of, you know, features or whatever. It's just how people feel about the program. It could die just as fast as MySpace. And what's interesting about the security thing is that ever since I was born, about when the internet started getting popular, you know, about since when I started paying attention to computers and whatnot, and I was told never share any personal anything on the internet. I was like, okay. So that's what I continued to do still to today. I don't really put anything personal out there. I'm loath to even, like, have a Facebook account. I have one just because sometimes it's hard to function without one, but I don't post anything on there, really. It's just, whenever any website asks me for a phone number or whatever, I'm like, I don't think they really need that.
I think we're going to be, and I have a dear friend who loves to share all kinds of pictures of her kid. And I'm billing dollars to donate, and I have messaged her and told her, turn off your location services because, God forbid, some creep gets hold of a picture of your kid with directions.
With the EXIF data, yeah.
Yeah, with directions right to her bedroom, for crying out loud.
Yeah, if you have your location device on your phone and you take a picture with it, more often than not, you'd be able to tell the exact location of where you took that picture from if you have all those settings turned on the right way. It wouldn't take much to find it either for anybody that knows where to look.
Adam Savage of Mythbusters discovered this the hard way when he took a picture of a car in his driveway to share on social media, and people started showing up. Hey, Adam wanted to see what you really look like. That freaked him out, and he's like, oh no, you know, so he learned that lesson the hard way.
It's kind of funny he didn't think to, you know, expunge that data from the photo, but I guess even if you're smart, you don't necessarily think everything.
Right, and that's what Facebook counts on, of course, is that you'll just accept the defaults, you won't go in, you won't look at all the stuff, you won't read the fine print, which is like really, really fine print. And now everybody's all in an uproar. But what I'm worried about as a side effect of this is a bunch of very onerous laws. Congress wants to treat the internet in general like it's a television, or like it's a broadcast service, or like it's the telephone, like it's a common carrier. And that means all kinds of regulations that, quite frankly, get in the way of innovation. One reason why this country has a cellular network and a telephone system that has to be backwards compatible with equipment built in the 1950s is because of that legislation. So it does, and it's cheaper just to keep relying on the old models. And I'm worried that that's going to spill over. I understand protection, but I certainly don't want to see innovation squashed. We got to find that center path.
It's kind of similar to why we keep using, or why we're building a regular slow train. Like, it's kind of a similar idea, you know? It's hanging on to old things just because they're old. Like, well, it doesn't make them better sometimes.
By the same token, just because something is brand spanky new shiny
doesn't make it better either.
Right. You got to find that. You got to use a little logic. Moving along and leaving Facebook behind, as many people are, routine space flights. SpaceX is just after a lot of false starts. And let's face it, NASA had a lot of false starts in the 1960s. Now they're actually reaching their goal of a ship flying, was it once a week or every other week?
Fairly regularly. I'm not sure how often it is, but I think it's every 2 weeks or so. Yeah.
Yeah, a Dragon capsule just delivered the goods to the International Space Station, including, I'm told, a brand new printer that Hewlett-Packard manufactured specifically for use in zero gravity. Well, why do you?
Which I'm sure must be really interesting to engineer.
Well, kind of like a Fisher space pen built into a printer.
But, yeah, you have to spray the ink at the paper. You can't just let it drop on there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I imagine this is, you know, a $500,000 printer, but. First, and then it can't be spewing a bunch of microparticles into the air, so it would have to be sealed, so you didn't get stuff floating around in zero G. So, but of course, I need to you can't do everything on a screen, so they need to print out documents, emergency plans, because if the power goes out and you're tapping on the screen, that isn't going to do you much good. So manuals and reports and things like that. So a new printer among the things that SpaceX delivered to the space station, and it was just another day at the, for SpaceX. And
yeah, it's interesting that it's gotten, you know, to the point of routine that a private company is sending up rockets into space to deliver stuff for the government, essentially. And, you know, it's not going to be too much longer before even more routine things are going to be related to space flight. They actually also sent up some equipment designed to work on experiments to get some of the space junk out of the way up there.
Right.
Since, you know, they send up a lot of stuff into space, and, well, most of the time it's just still up there. So eventually it's getting to the point where they can't just leave it all, you know, going hundreds and thousands of miles per hour around the Earth, because it doesn't really slow down after it's up there.
Yeah.
At a certain point, and they're thinking about now, they got to start cleaning it all up.
You whack a bolt or a nut or any or some even a fleck of paint at 25,000 miles an hour, it makes a ding, and that's what been one of the big dangers for the space station and for satellites in various orbits, is that you smack something at speed, it's going to leave an impression.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't slow down. If anything, it's probably going to speed up a little bit if it remains in orbit.
Yeah.
And that could slam into some satellite, you know, 20 years from now, and a tiny bolt going that fast is going to obliterate it.
Yeah, it's like a heck of a bullet. Meanwhile, over in Russia, they were trying to get a put the mailman out of a job, and that didn't work out well.
Yeah, the local, not local, but a paper there, or a post office place, was trying to launch their drone program to deliver mail with drones. And let's see, on its maiden flight, the $20,000 drone, you know, converted from rubles, took off, you know, as like a show. And then it looped around and smashed into a building and completely obliterated itself. Whoops.
Yeah, yeah.
The Russian Post.
Yeah.
They tried their best to distance themselves after it, after the fact. They're like, oh, well, you know, it's like, you know, the drone builders and all that. But it doesn't help when the main body of the thing had Russian Post all over it.
Yeah. Oh, that's like the famous... story about the Russian robot that kept escaping and going out into traffic a couple of years ago. Oops. Well, we probably have we just don't have as many people standing around with smartphones to capture the moment.
Yeah, imagine all the funny things that were left and never to be captured, you know, before smartphones.
Indeed.
YouTube would be a lot more interesting, you know,
yeah.
30 years ago if we had YouTube and smartphones, but
right, and yeah, the great moments, some of which people will say, well, I never said that. Oh yeah, you did, it's right here.
See, that moves on to some of the other future problems where you can just make things up, you know.
Well, I have technology
is getting to the point where you can emulate people's voices and manipulate video to create a scenario that never happened but looks really convincing.
I have, and this was 2 years ago when Facebook Live and Periscope first popped on the scene, I was thinking, how easy would it be for someone to stage an event, let's say for the sake of argument, a young person of color being beaten by police, and they put it up live. And, of course, it's staged. By the time the truth came out, if people would believe it, the riots would be underway.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things. And that's one of the reasons why people really should try their best to not get so quick to anger and quick to riot, since you should know when a big story happens, pretty much 100% of the information that comes out within the first 24 hours is going to be wrong.
Convoluted. Yeah.
It's not reliable to do or act on anything within, you know, any sort of news breaking since, well, nobody really knows anything yet. You can say something's happening.
Yeah.
But other than that, you surely shouldn't judge or base or think anything in particular is true of the information that's coming out.
Right, and I don't care if it's Fox News, I don't care if it's CNN, I don't care if it's something you're getting off of Twitter, if it's something you're getting off of Facebook, and that's the whole foo-foo-rah with, well, Facebook threw the election for Trump. Come on, I said this last week, if you only have one single source of information, that's living in a dictatorship that you made yourself.
Yeah, they'll expand your horizons a bit.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. You know, get all your... And any decent reporter, and I'm wondering if there are any decent journalists left.
Not many, if there are.
Speaking as a recovering journalist... you just verify as much as you can, and you don't take it to the air until you've got a pretty good notion that it's accurate. But now with the 24-hour news cycle, of course, people think, well, we'll just ask for forgiveness because they'll always forgive us. I don't think that's going to be the case so much anymore.
Or you just don't even bother for mentioning it because everyone will have forgot about,
right,
you know, it was being wrong or not. Or people just won't care because it enforces their side, and
right,
then they're like, eh, whatever.
The next shiny thing. Speaking of phones and taking video and all that, by the way, one of the side effects of taking Facebook off of my phone is that my battery life improved, and taking off Messenger improved it even more. But after a full charge this morning, at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I am now at 70% on my Galaxy Note, which is not bad, but there's some technology that maybe we can do better?
Well, it's not necessarily better, but this Chinese company, Blackview, put out this phone that has 11,000 milliamp hours in its battery, which most phones have about 1 or 2 thousand.
I think the Note 8 has a 3,000 milliamp hour, but that's a big honking battery. If it was a lead acid battery, the thing would be the size of a brick.
Right, it is actually fairly heavy. It doesn't give me an exact weight on the thing, but it promises to last 50 whole days in standby mode, like if it's just sitting there on, not really being used for much, but 50 days is an awful long time. It says with regular continuous use, it lasts about 7 days, you know, using a phone like a normal person, which is still pretty damn good.
Yep. There are some breakthroughs coming through with graphene, with nanotubes, things like that, that will not only give us longer lasting batteries, but batteries that don't go Note 7 in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or hoverboard in your pocket, as I like to say. And we touched on videos and how things with videos can get out of control. And, you know, we can point to the example of what Cutie Doo Pie or whatever the hell that moron's name was.
Cutie Pie?
Yeah.
Cutie Pie?
Yeah, he had, and I questioned this in the first place, and they really started giving these people who were turning out amateur crap, let's face it, and paying them hundreds of thousands of dollars because, well, okay, the whole thing video is empowering, but it also empowers some idiot to, on camera, suck a condom up his nose.
And spit it out his mouth. Yeah, I've heard about that.
What? What? The great joke I heard was, Well, the only reason you're doing that is because your parents didn't use one properly either. But,
yeah.
What in the world? Okay, so I have concerns about Periscope and Facebook Live, but even YouTube, where there's a little bit of a time delay built into the whole thing. Some people have been instant internet stars and made a pile of money. YouTube has revised their standards, and with tragic results, this woman took exception to it and went up and shot the place up. What's your take on that?
Well, the the whole basic story, simplified is the YouTube shooter. She had a bunch of videos up, was making money off it. That was pretty much her income. And all of a sudden, she got some of her videos demonetized, which means the ads weren't playing on it anymore, which means she wasn't getting any more money. Some of them got age-restricted because they were, well, definitely inappropriate for kids, and they showed animal torture because she was a advocate for animal rights.
Right.
Anyway, so she took, personal offense to that and, well, decided to do something about it, unfortunately. But it's a bit of an entitlement, obviously, from her. She's definitely a crazy person, so it's kind of hard to, see the world she sees through her mind, since it's quite distorted. But it's still it's hard for me to say that YouTube should have done anything different. It's their platform. They can censor whatever really they want to do because it's theirs. But you can users can be unhappy with it and try to get them to go a different way. But if anybody feels like they're not being treated fairly by a private company who's giving them money, there's not a whole lot of fairness to it. You didn't sign a contract with them to be guaranteed a certain income. You can be fired from your job at any day, really, little to no recourse. So it's not that much different than that if you have your videos suddenly demonetized or whatever.
Anybody who works in the entertainment industry knows.
Oh, yeah, especially in entertainment. You can get your plug pulled so fast and you just don't even know where it came from.
Anybody who works in radio knows that one. But there's an old saying in Hollywood that you're only as good as your last picture. So where these people get this mistaken impression that somehow the system or the company is to blame when their ratings tank, you made a bunch of money in a short amount of time. By golly, good on you. But you are by no means entitled to just sit back and keep collecting the fat checks just because you posted something new. The internet is a fickle mistress, boys and girls, when it comes to social, when it comes to things like YouTube stardom. And these... Suck it up, Buttercup. Your day, you've had your 15 minutes. Time to move on to the next thing.
And almost certainly, whatever people, quote unquote, that took her monetization away was done by a computer, an algorithm. So it's not like somebody maliciously went and turned it off for her. But then again, she's a crazy person, so yeah. It's kind of hard to try to explain logic to somebody that.
Exactly. You can't explain logic to crazy because they are inherently crazy. All the time for this week. Alan, want to thank you very much for calling in and being part of Boomer Tech Radio. We're just having a good time here, and you're bringing us some really, really good stories. So looking forward to whatever you're going to bring us next week. And this is Boomer Tech Radio with Bob, Brenda, and Alan. We'll be back with more of the tech news you can use right after the top of the hour break and news from SRN.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
I'm Ron DeRockstra. U.S. economy added just 103 jobs in March. That's a six-month low, according to the latest report from the government released this week. But economist Stephen Moore tells the Salem Radio Network the slight dip doesn't concern him. He says the numbers show the economy is solid and workers remain in good position.
There are 5 million more jobs in America today than there are Americans to fill them. I mean, what a wonderful problem for a country to have. And that's going to give a lot of leverage to workers so they can shop around, find a better job. They can ask their boss for a pay increase. It, you know, when there's more jobs out there, it just makes everybody better off.
Moore says even with the latest job numbers, we're still averaging about 200,000 new jobs a month. Arizona and Texas sending 400 National Guard members to the U.S.-Mexico border by next week in response to President Trump's call for troops to fight drug trafficking and illegal immigration. About 150 will come from Arizona, 250 from Texas, who plans to send their troops in the next 72 hours as an initial surge. Just how much did EPA Chief Scott Pruitt spend on his own security?
EPA sources and agency documents reviewed by the Associated Press show Administrator Scott Pruitt spent millions of dollars on a 20-member full-time security detail, three times the size of his predecessor's part-time team. They indicate Pruitt's concern with his own safety led the agency to blow through overtime budgets and at times diverted officers away from investigating environmental crimes. The EPA press office has refused comment on the cost of Pruitt's security, saying doing so could imperil his safety. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Rain continues to fall in Northern California. National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Oak says it's the result of an atmospheric river of subtropical moisture streaming from Hawaii. This is townhall.com.
Want to change how you feel significantly? ReliefFactor.com will do that for you. Support for temporary relief of minor aches and pains. If you're out there exercising, you go a little bit too far, as I did on Saturday, you definitely need Relief Factor on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I take it every day, as do tens of thousands of people. They know that they should have omega, which is fish oil, resveratrol, which you can get from drinking red wine, but you don't know how much. Icaria and curcumin all together, carefully calibrated, perfectly formulated, the combination of four natural supplements that everyone agrees you ought to be taking every single day. This makes it easy to do in the amount that is appropriate for your body. The starter pack is $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. Put everything else away that your doctor says you can put away. Don't not take what he tells you to take. And then see if you don't feel terrific. You'll feel much better. ReliefFactor.com works. Tens of thousands of people say so. Their testimonials are abundant and real and sincere. Go and watch them and get ReliefFactor.com.
Researchers are finding out you can grow vegetables without all the stuff farmers use.
Researchers in Antarctica have harvested their first crop of vegetables grown without earth, daylight, or pesticides. It's part of a project designed to help astronauts cultivate fresh food on other planets. Scientists say they have picked 8 pounds of salad greens, 18 cucumbers, and 70 radishes grown inside a high-tech greenhouse with temperatures outside well below zero. Rich Thomason reporting.
American Airlines ordering 47 new Boeing jets with a combined list price of $12.3 billion to replace some of their older planes. They're also canceling an order with Boeing's European rival Airbus that was made by U.S. Airways before it merged with American. The Fort Worth-based carrier is also delaying delivery of 40 other Boeing planes. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Former Russian ex-spy Sergei Skripal is still in the hospital, but doing better.
Christine Blanchard, the medical director at Salisbury District Hospital, says Skripal is responding well to treatment, improving rapidly, and is no longer in a critical condition. The former spy and his daughter Yulia have been in hospital for more than a month after being found unconscious on a bench in Salisbury, South England. British authorities say they were exposed to a military-grade nerve agent and have blamed Russia. Russia, however, has denied responsibility for the poisoning. Charles Villadesma, London.
India has pledged to upgrade road and cross-border rail links with Nepal and develop inland waterways to provide sea connectivity, that is, to the landlocked Himalayan nation. And at the Masters, Perry still leading, Mike Reed, that is, still leading in the third round. News and analysis, townhall.com.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
And welcome to Hour 2 of Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda Belongi. And our theme music, our catchy little tune that we play, 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood off the PodSafe Music Network. Used by permission. I want to follow along the things we do here on Boomer Tech Radio. You can go to the Boomer Tech Radio magazine in the Flipboard app, which is available for iOS or for Android systems, and put it on your device. And doesn't need a whole lot. I haven't noticed a whole. It pushes some content, but for the most part, it just pulls up stuff as you open the app. And it's fun, and it's what I find interesting, though, is that a lot of the articles are put on with a there's a little bit of a slant to the cover stories, but I just go to the technology section. So
yeah, they have different kinds of news of interest, so you know you can
get your news from many sources.
Yep.
which is a neat thing about a news aggregator.
Well, and sometimes you read something and you go, that's not right. That's not the way the world works or what have you. And it probably doesn't. It might be written by a bot. It might be incomplete. It might just be poor craftsmanship on the part of the journalist in a hurry to get something out because they want to be the first one to scoop the story or something like that. There's a whole bunch of different things that could be. It could be misinformation because they're in such a hurry they don't get all the details out right. So anytime I hear that there's something like the unfortunate shooting at YouTube this past week, there's just so little information available in the beginning that I ignore it for a good 10 or 12 hours before you can go read the story and maybe find out what actually happened or a little bit more substance to it than all you know in the beginning is a headline.
Yeah.
It happened. You don't know anything else. You don't know why. You don't know even where, maybe.
But the pressure is now. We were in Portland when the San Bernardino shooting took place, and the wild speculations
that was just for the first several hours
it
was so annoying because it was indeed that speculation on the part of people, and it's like, great, let's incite fear, stir up whatever, have a riot, and you don't even know what the story is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that kind of stuff irritates me. That's why, as Alan said, you know, take some time and chill a little bit.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath and wait a little bit till you know a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. The FCC, a commissioner with the FCC, is calling for a little more oversight on non-broadcast emergency alert systems. Now, the FCC here at this radio station that we're at has very tight controls over what kind and how emergency alert messages are sent out. But in Hawaii, back in January, an emergency alert system was activated on people's smartphones because that's how most people get their information now. The agency wants to be, Jessica Rosenworcel wants the agency to be more involved in ensuring the false alert mistakenly sent back in January, warning that a ballistic missile was about to hit the islands, doesn't happen again.
Yes, that was a very scary thing for the residents there.
The agency could take a number of steps, including making states more accountable when they file annual confirmation of emergency alert systems. The Hawaii plan was over a decade old and wasn't taking into account a lot of the technological changes. Now, I'm not a big fan of... Now, the alert was sent to cell phones and broadcast stations. So, yeah, the stations followed the protocol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They got the alert. They sent it on. And,
well, some of that's automatic.
It's automated, yes.
Yeah. There's no human intervention there at all, with good reason in some respects, because it would take time, and a lot of radio stations are not staffed very often. The thing about these kinds of plans and whatnot is that you have to review them frequently, and you actually have to practice these things and put them to work. It may seem a little cheesy to do a mock exercise, but a lot of times those mock exercises reveal a lot about what works and what doesn't work and what was successful and wasn't successful. So if their plan was 10 years old and they hadn't actually, you know, particularly done anything with it, that's kind of a potential point of failure.
Officials disclosed that the employee at the Hawaii Office of Emergency Services honestly thought there was an active threat when he sent the message out. Within hours of the employee has since been let go. The agency has changed its practices, and it now requires, just like launching the missile, two people have to step in to send the alert.
Yes, absolutely. And this individual, you know, if it was real, you have to get the information out in a timely manner. But at the same time, what made them think it was real?
Yeah.
I guess perhaps it was all of this fear-mongering in the news about it. It kind of loops back to that. So two-point authentication is a good idea.
Yeah. Now, the trouble is that a lot of these things for state offices of emergency services have been left in the federal government just says, you will do this, but they don't say how it's to be done or what safeguards need to be put in place.
Right.
And the FCC now saying maybe we need to look at a common operation. And
that makes
sense. We're seeing this, and I'm going to punch in on something that Brenda is familiar with. In the early days of firefighting in California, every agency had their own radio system, had their own command structure, had their own threads on their hoses.
Right. In the 70s, communications in Southern California reached a critical state where nobody could talk to anybody else. The frequencies were individual. There was no crosstalk, and it presented a lot of problems. And from that...
Nobody knew who was in charge at an incident.
Exactly. And they didn't know who was there and where they were and this sort of thing. So this became a big problem, and it was recognized as being significant. So from that, what they call the Incident Command System, or ICS, was born. It was, the doors open to the studio. You can hear the fire engine go by, perhaps. Incident Command System was born out of that right here in California. It is now international, and it sets operating standards and qualification standards. Certain qualification standards are met for a position on an incident using Incident Command System. It's very effective.
Failures were at the alert origination point, kind of reminded of the movie War Games. the kid gets into the computer and triggers, and he's playing the scenario, which to the people at the NORAD command center looked like the real deal. Well, we didn't even get a launch warning. Why are we picking up missiles coming in? You know, and
so yeah, some of these things. Early in my career, when I had to do practice warnings for the Weather Service, we had semi-annual events. We had it at every six mm-hmm. months or so. You started out the text of the product big as a house. You know, this is a drill, this is a drill, this is a drill, this is a test, this is a test, this is a test.
To keep something
you know,
like this is,
and then you would, and then when sometimes you would use silly wording because it just de-escalated it even that much more to get people to realize that this is, you know, like an April Fool's joke kind of thing, right? And that it wasn't real. Well, after a while, they quit that because a few leaked through that did not have that, and people thought they were real, a tornado warning or a flood warning or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there were some kerfuffles over that in a few places at times. And now everything is canned in the computer. The wording is all set, and all the person writing the warning has to do is kind of pick and choose from that menu of items. And mm-hmm. there isn't a whole lot, but there's a few things they can choose because everything is a standard wording, and it's, you know, they don't do drills anymore because we're not writing them from scratch out of our own heads. They're just picked from a menu.
So apparently instead of a launch key, two individuals have to enter, like, their personal access code
right.
to trigger
an alert. Which
is
like a launch key.
Yeah.
That two-point authentication is a good thing. Because the one person said, oh, that's real, and the other person was like, that doesn't make any sense. So then it brings another perspective to the point of view. If they both agree and, you know, then perhaps it is real, off you go. So these things happen. And the source of the message, though, that's another thing. Like you say, it was the root of the problem, actually. But that sneaked out. And I've seen that happen, but not for some time in my business.
Well, if you happen to have more than one Amazon Echo speaker in your house, some new functionality has come to the smart speaker. Although a lot of people, I wonder if smart speaker sales have dipped because of all these concerns. You know, how much information is your
device
is your Siri or your what's her name in the box? Are they spying on you? The short answer is no. Although it would be hard, I'm not going to say absolutely, because I don't know what's going on inside the box, and for some people that's a scary, if you don't know exactly what's happening inside the box. Well, do you know what's going on exactly inside your car's computer?
Right. What would you hear in the average household?
Hmm. Yeah. For,
you know, maybe you would maybe know what they're listening to or watching on television, that you would know. But there's other ways to find that out that don't have to do with smart speakers. So I guess a certain amount of paranoia raises an interesting question, but I'm not so sure.
Well, this is a product that didn't even exist 5 years ago.
Right.
Although we had HAL and we had the smart home, what was the name on Eureka?
Sarah.
And other entities who were smart digital assistants, and now we have one that's the size of a Pringles can that we can just deploy in our houses.
Or a overgrown hockey puck,
actually. Of course, the dot in the miniature size. Amazon is adding a much-requested intercom feature to devices with the A-Lady inside. TechCrunch says you'll be able to use your various Echo devices as two-way communications. You can say, rather than just relaying your voice, you can say, hey, announce that dinner is ready, and the message will propagate to all of your Echo-based devices around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these people have a much bigger house than I do.
Several trigger words, yeah. We don't need one of those to get from one end of the house to the other. You can at least hear the person talking, or in about six steps, you can make yourself heard. It's not a problem. Whatever did we do before we had these devices? Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Amazon has been on an upgrade rampage lately, aggressively adding new features to Alexa-enabled devices. The company added support for music automation and also has put in a brief mode that disables the feedback after a command and simply adds a ding, as well as a follow-up mode that allows the devices to do multiple commands back-to-back without saying the hot word again.
That would be nice.
And we discovered that Google Home already does that by setting up a complicated wake-up alarm rather than having to go back and forth or punch 50 buttons. We simply said, hey, G-Lady.
Do this every day, Monday through Thursday,
yeah. Set an alarm for 5 a.m. And if you think about it, that's a lot of little moving pieces.
Right.
In terms of what is to you and me a simple command, but to a voice-activated speaker, that's a lot of little hoops to jump through. But did it, and it worked.
It's pretty impressive what these things can do. Mm-hmm. The programming involved with that is pretty phenomenal.
I got to tell you, when it comes to wake up, we did discover that if you don't parse the wording correctly, instead of playing an alarm at 5 a.m., system, the Google Home was playing a song called 5 a.m., which turns out to be a rap song.
I never did digest the verbiage in it.
I don't think
too
you
early
wanted
then,
to.
Well, maybe not. I was half asleep, so it didn't register too well. Oh, what can you say, right?
Yep. Okay, so the saga of our friend Charlie. We won't give his last name, but our friend Charlie needed a new computer because he had what was originally a Vista machine that was upgraded to 7, and it was working pretty well, but was an older AMD dual-core Hewlett-Packard with a pretty noisy fan in it and a 300-gig hard drive. And only 2 gigs of memory, so it was slowing down pretty good. Plus the fact that this gentleman is in his 80s, likes to click on things, and had the computer pretty boogered up. So rather than try to clean up this computer, we said, you know, let's get something that's a little bit faster and newer and fewer wires, because these new all-in-ones are pretty nice. The new all-in-one computers are essentially a plug-in laptop.
Pretty much.
With a detached keyboard.
Yep.
And everything else is inside the monitor, laptop computer.
Yeah, exactly. Not very portable. It's not supposed to be portable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take up a big footprint either.
No. Set up in just a couple of minutes. You plug in the power, the keyboard, the mouse, and hit the power button. That's pretty simple. You're not looking at the HDMI connector, looking at it one way, looking at it the other way, trying to figure out how you're going to plug it into the wrong...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, and that's difficult to tell sometimes in low light, or it's a little tiny thing, and the difference is subtle, actually.
Yeah, and it's like micro USB connectors. You can end up buggering those things up pretty bad, trying to get them in the wrong way.
Exactly. Yep. So it's... I'm glad they've gone more towards the, it doesn't matter which side you put in facing up
the USB-C
devices.
Yes. Which of course is the connector. Now the lightning connector on an Apple device is either or. You can plug it in either direction. But the USB-C, which we have on our Samsungs, you can't get it in upside down. All you have to do is line it up.
Yep.
We rarely actually use the USB-C because our Samsungs have wireless charging. We have two wireless charging stations in the house, and that works out rather well. And we'll just ignore that even happened.
The beauties of almost live radio.
Yeah. the best lap. Back to Charlie's computer. It's what we got him was the HP 19.5-inch all-in-one, and pretty nice little computer. Nice white finish on it. It's not just a beige box.
So the interesting thing about this is you go, well, where are the peripherals? You know, where you can plug in things. The one thing that we didn't like was the fact that it had a USB plug-in in the back, and that the that was kind of hard to get to. But there's a simple solution to that. All you have to do is plug in the an extender or a what do you call it? A little octopus thing that brings those plugins around to the front.
Right.
What do they call those? A hub. Thank you. There we go. And it has little wires on it and actually makes it pretty convenient. And then along the side of the monitor is where there's a CD, DVD player. So when you open it up, the slot in the side of the monitor opens up. And that kind of makes some funny noises every once in a while, but it seems to work all right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would use it a lot.
Yeah, it seems that's... In order to sell a computer for $400,
right,
you make some shortcuts.
Have to give up a few things.
It feels plasticky. The keyboard is pretty thin. The mouse is pretty
thin. You can change those out, though.
Now, it does have super speed ports, the fast USB 3.0.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it has two of those plus two regular USB ports for your keyboard and mouse.
USB 2.0.
It will plug into an HDMI monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a networked adapter built in, of course.
So really, you get quite a bit.
Yep.
Has some versatility.
This particular computer comes with 4 gigs of RAM and a terabyte hard drive. And that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And it's nice and quiet.
It is.
Boots up under Windows 10 Home, and we discovered something interesting about Windows 10 Home because we're both spoiled because we have Windows 10 Pro on our two machines that we use. Now you've got 7 on your still on your. Do you have 10 yet on the computers you use at your place now? Oh, okay, so. But
yes.
10, there's a big difference between 10 Home and 10 Pro.
Oh, yeah.
And it does, and I guess I need to justify that $50 difference.
Well, there's also a big difference between Office Home and the Office Pro, too.
Yeah.
A Microsoft suite of stuff.
By the way, this Hewlett-Packard came with, in the package we bought it in, a year of Office 365, which is the cloud-based version of Microsoft Office. So he's got Word, he's got his Calc, and he's got all his little... he's got stuff on there he'll never use.
Thing about that, though, is you have to keep up the subscription.
Right, and the subscription is like $39 a year.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Well, what's nice about that, digress here slightly about that sort of thing, is that when you have those kind of subscription softwares, the latest, greatest is available to you when it's there, which can be annoying because you might have to learn how to punch new buttons on a regular basis, but it hasn't been too bad with those things that you know, what you learn to begin with is still viable. I don't know if that's the right way to put it or not, but most of the updates aren't too radical at a time.
Right.
Over time, they may change quite a bit, but they don't change them hugely from... month to month or whatever, usually.
By the same token, Adobe, of course, has gone to a subscription model for their Premiere Pro editing program,
mm-hmm.
which used to cost you about $800.
Right.
Because it was a very high-end editing program. Final Cut was nearly $1,000. Now you can get it much cheaper, and they just continue to update them. In fact, I'm doing a quickie update to my Adobe Media Encoder right now on my MacBook Pro.
That's what's nice about those subscription services is that you don't have to buy
new software.
You don't have to buy software again in a few years, and then if it's made some quantum leap forward, you're like, oh my, where are all my buttons kind of thing. It just sort of is gradual and continual, which is kind of nice, actually.
Now, here was a neat trick we did since... His old computer was a Windows 7, and the new one was a 10. We set up a home sharing network, and were able to quickly copy all the photos off of his old computer onto his new computer. We were starting it off with a flash drive, and it was going to take 3 hours to copy everything to the flash drive. He had over 4 gigs of photos.
Right.
But we connected the two via network cable into his hub. And lo and behold, had the whole thing transferred in 15 minutes.
15 or 20 minutes, yeah. It didn't take all that long.
Yeah.
And considering now he's got that's a massive
pictures.
Amount.
And then what we did data. For him was that we set up his bookmarks. But here's the complaint. The built-in mail client, email client, in Windows 10 Home, you better work on that, guys, because here's two people who have been around computers a lot, And we couldn't make heads or tails of the darn thing.
Said, this is missing. Where is this? We couldn't find it. They hide it. They don't want you touching it. Now, that's crazy. Your files, you know, scent, trash, whatever, that sort of thing.
I never did figure out how to take a draft and send it.
Right.
And turn it back into something. There was no send button, and I looked high and low. I suppose I could have asked Cortana to do it for me.
Right. So when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about this, including the difference between your task bar and your favorites.
Yeah.
And things like that. Or, well, favorites bar and what have you.
Yeah. Plus a rundown, an update on the best laptops and best tablets available on the market right now. You are listening to Boomer Tech. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck for you? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Tech news that you can use. Every once in a while, you'll still hear people say a website, http://www.
You don't need all that stuff.
Yeah.
Everything after the www, you can just type that in and you're good.
Yeah, you can type in the name of the domain, and your browser is smart enough to be able to
know
fill
whether
in
it
the
needs
blanks.
That, right.
And now,
not all websites need that.
Right.
But it goes out and looks for something that matches that, and it'll fill in the http://, or https://, www if it's needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't waste your time
doing
that.
Your browser is smart enough.
It is, definitely. So one of the things that we came across that might be helpful for some people, because, again, adventures with Charlie's computer, there is obviously a favorites. You can, when you find a website that you want to go back to repeatedly, or you want to bookmark somehow or whatever, you can add it to your favorites list. Now in Chrome, you have a couple of choices. When it comes up, you say you want to bookmark this. There's a little star you can hit in the line with the website address, and then it brings up a little window and it says you bookmark it. But B, you can look as to where you're bookmarking that. The choices are like favorites bar. You can do various places, locations where that is. But what's nice about the favorites bar is that you can very quickly launch something by just clicking what's on your favorites bar. So think about your favorites bar, which is usually at the top of the screen, as being like the task bar that's at the bottom of the screen, where all you have to do is click on that, boom, and it takes you right there. Mm-hmm. So it's readily available right in front of you and that sort of thing. So our friend was a little confused about which was which, and he goes, well, just right there. And he said, yeah, but you're loading up your favorites bar with a lot of things, which it won't show all of them. It has a little arrow or whatever. There's some way that it'll show you everything that's on there.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more, right. So you can do it either way, but what's nice about the favorites bar is that it puts it right there, and all you have to do is click on it. You don't have to go to your favorites and then find it, and then it's right there. So that's a very handy tool. If you're not aware of being able to do that, you can. And so just look in your browser. And certainly Internet Explorer, Edge, Chrome, and I suspect Firefox and some of the other ones have similar things.
Right, you can do these in different ways.
Yeah, different ways. You just have to figure out how it is on that particular thing. But when you go for all of them, the big ones, at a minimum, Chrome, Firefox, Edge and Internet Explorer, you can specify where you want that favorite saved.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just in the favorites list, then it's going to be a drop down, and you can find it in that list somewhere. If it's on your taskbar, then it's just right there, and all you have to do is click on it.
So a peeve with the Edge browser, which is, of course, the browser that comes with
Windows 10.
They've made it a very Spartan. In fact, the original code name was Spartan. It's a very plain, some would say, no-frills interface without a lot of shading and all that. One thing I discovered, though, is that our friend Charlie is an AOL guy. In other words, he's familiar with the way AOL looks, and if you go to the AOL, and I know that people are going, AOL, is it great? No, he's just used, he has an AOL address.
I thought they were dead kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I heard you were dead. Yeah. He has an AOL address. He's 83. He's not really going to be going for anything new.
It serves his needs.
It serves his needs. Well, now instead of an AOL app or the ubiquitous AOL software, you go through their web portal.
Right.
Which looks, which has a load of junk on it. I'm just going to be the first one to tell you. It because all these things are monetized by piling on the advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere near you will find your mail, but you have to know where to look.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of chaff around those kernels of mail.
But be familiar, you've got mail voice pops out of your speaker. Now, one thing, now I wanted to set up the browser so that it would immediately, as soon as Charlie turned on the browser, jump to the AOL page and open his email for him, because that's the thing he does the most often. Charlie's not going to be jumping onto a social media platform for his communications.
No.
No.
Not happening.
I know for some people, email is just too slow and antiquated.
Antique.
But this is an 83-year-old guy, and email's what he knows. I had the hardest time changing the home page. You have to get down in the settings and root around, because what it is, Microsoft wants you on that Microsoft home page,
mm-hmm.
so they can try to sell you more crap.
Mm-hmm.
And getting it to assign to another home page, you got to get into the settings and root around.
It was not intuitively obvious.
Right. Then he is used to Chrome, so I put Chrome on his computer, and I set it up as the default browser, which just ticked Windows 10 off. It flashed up. Are you sure you use the better, brighter browser Edge? Pretty much.
Terrible.
Yeah. So when I went into the settings for Chrome, I went right to the tab, and I said, make this my home page. I said, make a different home page. And it says, do you want to use the current page as your home page? Hell yes. Click. It was done.
Right. Chrome is easy that way.
Yeah.
We also discovered that certain...
PDFs.
Right. PDFs. Certain sites that our friend was going to, he was trying to fill out some online forms and make that work. And Edge and these forms were not playing well together at all. And you may think that, you know, this should be standardized, but it's not. When it's a huge deal when a new operating system comes out, because things that used to work with the old operating system may not work with the new operating system.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of compatibility stuff that it has to go through. So this is one of the things that we had said, okay, let's go to Chrome and see if it'll work there. It works fine. So the compatibility is there. But PDF, and a built-in PDF reader or editor, was not in the
right.
Edge.
Apparently, they want you to download
or whatever
an extension for the Edge browser,
right?
Or at least there's a functionality there that I wasn't finding and turning on, so we couldn't fill out the form. Fortunately, Chrome had the. We even wound up trying to explain the difference. What's the difference between the browser and the operating system?
Right.
And some people aren't quite getting wrapped around that.
And the question was, well, what's the difference between Chrome and Google? And when we answered Chrome is a Google product, that just thoroughly confused them even more. They say, well, it functionality, Google's the search engine you use.
And the parent company's Alphabet.
Right. But and then Google is the interface that you have with the web.
Yeah,
and it was really hard for this person to wrap their brain around that, it's almost a subtle difference. I mean, what's the difference between Googling something and using Chrome to interface with the internet. You know, it's not obvious.
My friend Jack was having the hardest time figuring out the difference between an email address and a web address.
Oh, yeah.
He can't
get his brain wrapped around
what's the difference between. I said, well, what's the address? And he would give me a website. No, that's a website. What's the email address? Why aren't they the same thing? No, they're not.
Like, one is editable on your part, and you can send it like a message through the snail mail. The other is a fixed page like in a book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're headed to a magazine, if you will. Yeah. He still couldn't quite wrap that around his brain around that concept. He was stuck.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's what he hires us for.
Yep. So anyway, long and short is that there's still a few things to work out on our friend Charlie's computer. But all in all, if somebody needs a new PC, I would certainly consider one of these $400 desktops.
Great for students
you're not going to play affordable. Call of Duty on
no,
this thing.
It's not a gaming thing, but it's very adequate for mail, and you could probably watch movies on it pretty adequately and things like that.
Well, I'm hoping that this, there's an article in Laptop, which is part of Tom's Guide. Tom's Guide is a nice site to poke around on and get the latest hardware hacks and news about tech that's written in a language that most of us can understand. And people will ask us often, what computer, what tablet, what this, what that should I buy? And like the case was with Charlie, he just does email.
Right.
And he fills out web forms, PDF. He doesn't do anything heavy. So
keeps
pictures on there. So his entry-level computer was exactly what he needed to get his work done.
No sense him spending $1,200 or $1,500 on a high-end computer because its features would be largely unused by him. So, as we always say when people ask us this, what do you want to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes a difference. But still, there's this nice list, right, in this article about the best laptops of this year, 2018.
There have been a lot of laptop manufacturers, and there are certainly a lot cheaper laptops. But the best overall, and I have heard good things about this particular machine, the Dell XPS 13. It's a 13-inch, of course, laptop. Razor thin, good battery life, and it has a 4K resolution, runs for up to 12 hours, it still includes full-size USB-A ports. It doesn't try to cram everything through a C port.
And that's right around $1,000 for this computer. You can get it in 4K resolution. Better performance than up to 12 hours of battery life, but even a little bit older model of the version of this computer may be better, and you get up to like 16 hours of battery life.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you want one for the kids or a travel laptop, maybe for a college student. The Acer Aspire for under $350 is a 15-inch laptop. A 1080p display, has an Intel i3 processor, and a terabyte hard drive, all for less than $350. Has all kinds of ports, plus Ethernet and an SD card reader. For a travel computer, this is not a bad little machine. That's the Acer Aspire E15. Acer started out as a pretty sketchy company, but they have really stepped up and improved their build quality.
And at around $350, if you lose this thing, it gets trashed or whatever, you're not going to scream and holler too bad. I mean, $350 is quite a bit of money, but when it comes to a computer, not so bad. And as we always say, if you're going to do travel or whatever, make sure that you have backed these things up on the cloud somewhere or on a hard drive, an external hard drive at home. Don't be taking your computer out without it having backed up, just because you never know what's going to happen when you travel.
Sitting in front of me, I have a 13-inch MacBook Pro, and I have a 12.9-inch iPad Pro. What if you want the best of both in a single compact package? That's where you're going to want to look at a 2-in-1. It can be a laptop 1 minute or a tablet the next minute, and the highest rated 2-in-1 value for the money best rated 2-in-1 laptop, according to this report on Tom's Hardware, is the Lenovo Yoga 920. Now, if you don't have a problem with buying Lenovo, which some people do because of some of the practices they have had in the past, the fact that this is the Lenovo is what's left of the IBM laptop market that is wholly based in China now. This is a pretty darn solid little 2-in-1, has a quad-core Intel i7, 12 hours battery life, has a 14-inch display, has an active stylus, and has Thunderbolt 3 plus standard USB connections.
All at around $1,300.
Well, that one is about about $1,200 is what I'm looking at here. But yeah, $1,199.99.
Yeah. Oh, you must be looking at a different article than
I am. $1,199.99, best 2-in-1. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you're really going for the big dollars and you want to spend bunches of money without, well, that's a little that's interesting because I'm looking at the summary. So obviously they have different prices. You've seen the ads, and if you just have to have the big kid on the block, you want to look at the Microsoft Surface Book 2. Whereas Microsoft's Surface computers really started out it was a computer that was looking for a job, basically. The Surface Book 2 is a well-rounded machine in terms of its portability and its battery life, combining, again, the best of a tablet and a laptop. But if you're a gamer, yes, you can, in fact, game on a laptop. The Alienware 17-inch R4 is a beast, has an built-in NVIDIA GTX 1080 graphics chip. Now, this is the graphics chip that Bitcoin miners...
So popular with Bitcoin miners, yeah. Backing up to the Microsoft Surface Book 2, which is only a 13-inch one, it's a bit pricey.
Yep.
It's $1,850.
It's almost $2,000.
Yeah, it's getting close to $2,000, which is pretty interesting.
Now, the very high and very highest end MacBook Pros, of course, are a little over $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I have to do a little shopping because I have to decide where I'm going to go with that.
Well, it better be pretty productive on those kinds of things. So. Best detachable, which is where the screen and the keyboard separate. Is that what they mean by a detachable?
Yeah.
Is the Microsoft Surface Pro. That's can be a pretty good buy at around $700.
Okay. I'm going to want you to get your currency converter ready because we're going to move over in our last couple of minutes here. Move over to this was a British site that I got to, and I didn't know that until I just pulled this up. Best tablets in 2018 by Trusted Reviews, and this is everything is in pounds sterling, so I'll need you to do some quick conversions.
About
for me.
1.5 is usually the deal, but I can do that. Yeah. My tablet cover would behave itself.
Mm-hmm. Best overall tablet is the Apple iPad Pro 10.5, 64 gigs with Wi-Fi. Best overall tablet, certainly not cheap, but it does deliver the best screen, camera, and performance. Now, I've got the 12.9, the older iPad Pro, with 128 gigs of RAM, of storage on it, and the Pencil. And I really enjoyed it. In fact, I found a new app for using the Pencil that is very, very artistic. If you're really serious about a tablet, it's hard to go wrong with an iPad Pro. It certainly has the largest ecosystem. And if you have, especially if you have a MacBook or even a Mac at home, hard to go wrong with an iPad Pro. And a new iPad is available for less than $350. That'll be coming out and hitting the stores very, very soon.
So, pounds to dollars in this case?
Yeah, the price is 579 pounds.
About $815.
Okay. Best value is also an iPad. The 9.7 non-pro is available for about 275 pounds.
That's about $390.
That's
just shy of 400.
The best value tablet. Now, I use my iPad. Brenda has her Samsung, and that's not a bad little. In fact, the Galaxy Tab S3 is on the list. The pros include high dynamic range, OLED display, and has the S Pen included.
That's nice.
But the cons are that the back is glass, so it kind of has a lot of fingerprints and the multitasking. It's not as good at doing more things at once than say an iPad is.
Mm-hmm. How much is that one?
480 pounds.
That's about $675. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really powerful computers at less than $1,000, less than $800 actually.
But my advice remains for people who just want to get a started. Beginning tablet remains the Kindle Fire series. The HD8 is a good all-in-one tablet.
Very cheap.
Now, it does not have navigation software built in. So if you're looking for mapping your way around town or 4G connectivity, which I have on my iPad Pro, this is not going to be your device. But the for just a bang-around tablet for reading, games, you can compose notes on it.
Can actually surf the web.
Yeah, you can do some web surfing. And if you drop it...
You're not out a lot of money.
Or get stepped on. Right. You're, if I break this thing, I'm going to weep. my iPad Pro.
And I'll beat you with the remains of it.
I'll end up eating the rest of the display for dinner. But the Kindle Fire HD, we bought, and this is...
$200 when we bought ours.
Yeah.
6 years ago.
Get them for $79.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's depressing.
But the build quality on these things is really impressive on the Kindle Fire.
They've, at least the ones we had, have. I still use mine. Yours ran out of juice or something.
Well, the battery, if I keep it on shore power.
Oh, it does okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. I had... when these stories came out about Facebook skimming data and all that, and people have been doing this off and on, pretty funny thing, Carl here at the radio station got a sticky note and stuck it over the camera on his laptop. Now, I don't know what I would be doing that would possibly be of interest to anybody.
It's not like, the radio station is a nudist colony or something, right?
Yeah. Former FBI Director James Comey went back in September 2016, was asked if he covered his laptop's webcam with tape. Basically, he says there are apps such as WhatsApp, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Viber that when you grant an app access to camera and microphone, the app could record you at any time. Now, again, I'm such a boring person, I can't see why anybody would find this even remotely interesting. However, If you have kids in the house, and we got this lesson a couple of years ago when somebody had jimmied the software on laptops that were sent home with kids to remotely access the camera. It was a big scandal.
Yeah, that was the big news. It was supplied by the school.
Yeah. And whoever was doing the IT for the school got the bright idea of planting malware in the computers so that he could remotely access the cameras. And that scares the daylights out of people.
Well, it's also really inappropriate. You know, that just shouldn't happen. Who thinks these things are a good idea? You know, that's just not cool. There's one interesting little vignette here, just real quick before we finish the deal. Now I got to find it. Oh, yes, when to expect big price drops in the new iPad. And we covered this story last time that Apple is feeling some competition, so they're now going to come up with a much cheaper iPad. But it's probably going to be a while, about $300 range.
And that's all the time for this week's Boomer Tech Radio. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.